Welcome to our chapel service today. Please join me as we begin with the prayer that you'll find on page 172 on the top of the right column. We join our voices in unison. O Lord, teach me to remember that I will die and that here I have no enduring home. Make me mindful of the shortness of my life and keep me ever mindful of my death, that I may live and die in this world, not to myself, but to you. Grant that I look forward to the day of my departure and the return of your Son, Jesus Christ, with a cheerful faith, that I may proceed toward my death in a holy walk and a godly life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and by the merit of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for this morning, the reference is incorrect, but the words are correct. It is taken from the revelation given to St. John in the first chapter, beginning with verse 17. And John writes regarding Christ, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." Sometimes when people die, a different person's death may hit you in a different way. My grandmother, who I saw every day, died when I was just starting ninth grade. She was 78 years old, and I missed her very much, and it was very hard to deal with suddenly that loss of my grandma. About 3 months later, one of my high school classmates, who sat right in front of me that I didn't really know very well, was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver. And her death, even though I didn't know her as well, hit me in a whole different way. It hurt more. It stung more. The Bible talks about the sting of death. It affected me in a completely different way because this was somebody who was young, who was in my class. This was like me. This wasn't like some elderly person that was dying. This was like me. And it just came over me in a completely different way and shocked me in a totally different way. The Bible often addresses the subject of dying. We've been hearing about it all week here in chapel. And it often speaks of death in two different ways. One of the ways that it describes death to us is like a prison. It often uses imagery of being chained or shackled or restricted into something that we can't change. In the Old Testament, the word that was often used in the Hebrew was Sheol, for death, for going down into the ground and what lies beyond our ability to see. In the New Testament, the word would be translated into Hades, which is a word we're maybe a little more familiar with. Hades, and that's the word that we find in our text in front of us today. It has to do with what is unseen, the realm of the dead, often something that dealt with the underground. And this was very fitting in Greek and Roman times because quite often ancient prisons were like dungeons that were underground in castles and buildings. The prison of death, the dungeon of death, does not discriminate. It doesn't care anything about who it takes hold of. And it puts everybody, in a sense, into the same cell. As a pastor, I buried a 9-year-old girl and a 90-plus-year-old man in the same year. I have buried people of great wealth. I have buried people on welfare. I have buried people with doctorates. I have buried people with only an 8th-grade education. I've buried people who lived very healthy lives and took very good care of their bodies. I've buried people who didn't care about how they took care of their bodies. You see, in this prison of death, it just doesn't care. We sometimes see the initials RIP on gravestones, and that's very appropriate because when it really comes down to it, death doesn't give a rip about who you are. It doesn't care about how old you are. It doesn't care about where you lived or who your parents were, how much money you have, how athletic you were. It just doesn't care. It's indiscriminate. And that's an incarceration that is waiting for every one of us in this room. During the Middle Ages, it was very common, and we've seen this in movies quite often, it was very common for prisoners to often be chained up against walls, almost paralyzed. And that's really what death does. In fact, we use the word rigor mortis. The word rigor mortis means rigid mortality, rigid death. It means to be stiff in death. And if you've ever stood over the coffin of a loved one and seen that body that used to be so full of such life and vitality, you understand how paralyzing this prison of death really is. That their body now is just as stiff as the coffin in which they reside. Now inside of this same prison that you and I have in our future, a new inmate has entered. And he's different from all of the rest. He is the Son of God, very God of very God, by whom all things were made. And this very Son of God has chosen to come into the very cell that you and I are bound in this prison. We're told in the book of Isaiah that Christ made his grave with the wicked. This was an intentional incarceration. He wasn't thrown in there like you and I. He chose to come into this prison on purpose, intentionally. He wanted to enter it because he alone, as God himself, possesses the answer to the prison. He possesses the one key that can get us ultimately out of this prison. In some of the prisons here in the United States, especially ones that were built in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on, you've maybe seen this in movies too. I hope none of you have actually been in prison to experience this, but you've maybe seen this in movies too. When the warden or one of the guards hits a certain electronic switch, it automatically opens all of the prison doors and the prisoners can come out of their cell. And even though it's a very small sequence of time, there is a distinction between the first door that hits that charge and gets released and all of the other doors down the line. And so the person in the last cell hearing that charge hit the first door, maybe their door hasn't opened yet, but they know, they're confident now because of that and the first one opening, that the rest of them are going to open. When your Lord Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday broke his prison of his grave and sent the signal that death had been conquered, there is a releasing sequence of all the other graves of those who believe in him. And your cell door of your prison will now be opened as well. And you can take confidence by looking at the release of his door to know that for sure your door is going to open. Listen to the comforting words that Jesus speaks to you today about your future death. Listen to what he says. Do not be afraid. That's awesome. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, he says. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. You've probably lost a key at some point in your life. If you're like me, it's happened thousands of times. And you know when you lose that key just how absolutely significant it is, even though it seems very tiny and very insignificant in a lot of ways. But when you're missing it, you realize the importance that it holds. Faith in Christ seems pretty small to the world, pretty insignificant. Sometimes the world laughs at it and makes jokes about it, how silly it seems. And maybe we're even tempted to think that way of it. But on the day of judgment, think how important that key of faith in Christ really is. And to think that a little child who possesses that faith, a little three-year-old that's just singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, and loves her Savior in her heart, that little three-year-old child that's holding that key of faith in Christ has the power over the devil himself, has the power over her grave. And your Lord Jesus Christ hands you that key every time you hear his word spoken, every time you hear that your sins are forgiven, every time you take the Lord's Supper, every time you're reminded of your baptism. That's how the Lord dispenses this key. And to those who hold this key by faith in Christ, the Bible now talks about death in a completely different way. There's no more talk of prison to those who hold this key. Listen to the kinds of words that God uses to talk to you when you hold this key. It's now a sleep. It's now an entrance into a mansion. It's now an entrance into a banquet. You're now just going through a door and you get to ride in the arms of angels. That's the way God talks to those who possess the key. So along with St. Paul, we can look ahead at your own funeral someday and you can say, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen.